David Dolan is the man who covers the Middle East for us, and we're always happy to be able to talk with him, especially at this season of the year. In fact, David, in the city of Jerusalem, where you have lived for so many years, it could be the day before Christmas, the day of Christmas, or the day after Christmas, and there would not be much of a sign of Christmas in the air at all, would there?
No, you'd have to look for them. That is, unless you were living in the eastern half of Jerusalem, and there are five or six large Jewish neighborhoods in those areas, and I lived in two of them over the years, because they line Hebron Road, the main thoroughfare to Bethlehem, with Christmas decorations. The people driving along that road every day, commuting back and forth into town, maybe 70, 80,000 Israeli Jews, which would be reminded every day that it is the Christmas season. But apart from that and a few other things, you wouldn't know, really, because, of course, it isn't a celebrated holiday for non-Messianic Jews or for Muslims, even though Muslims regard Jesus as some sort of a prophet, but, of course, not the Son of God. And Jews generally have regard for him as a historical figure and are proud of him as a Jew, but not necessarily think he's the Son of God. Yeah, it's a small group of people that celebrate. Nevertheless, the Midnight Mass is always broadcast on Israel Television, the state-owned channel. And this year, there's a little bit more excitement there, Jimmy, because that's Roman Catholics, of course, a Mass. And they're anticipating the Pope Francis coming, probably April or May. They haven't set a final date, as far as I've heard, but he's coming to the land. And I tell you what, the Israeli tourism officials are thrilled because he's expected to bring a flood of Catholic pilgrims with him from all over the world, and especially from his native Argentina. That's a huge influx of visitors to Israel, and they, of course, as you know, taking groups over there, tourism is a major and very important industry in Israel.
And speaking of Christian pilgrims, the Israeli government, the Israeli Defense Force on high alert, their security organizations, because of the influx of Christian pilgrims from all across the world for this Christmas season.
Well, indeed, Jimmy, and that comes, of course, in the background of severely increasing, if I can use such a term, a combination of words, as seriously increasing attacks on the Christian communities around the Middle East. In Egypt, we've had this year the destruction of hundreds of churches in riots with supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mostly the Muslims just setting their buildings on fire and ransacking them. Schools have been destroyed. Iraq, the Christian community there has been under severe attack. In Syria, they're sort of in the middle of both sides of the civil war, which makes them targets from both sides because they generally support the Assad regime only because it's protected them. And they think the Sunni Muslims, if they come to power, won't. They're caught and being killed. And Lebanon, the killing goes on there, too. So, yes, the Israelis don't want to see any attacks, any sort of provocations against visiting Christians, whether they're from other Middle Eastern countries, and many do come, or from the farther world. And the security, as always, is very tight, and yet it's very discreet. You don't feel like, and I've done this many times, of course, gone through that to cover Christmas Eve and Christmas in Bethlehem, you don't feel like you're in a police state or something. They do it nicely, but they're watching and, of course, will watch what goes on very closely.
Speaking of visitors being in Israel, this last week, the Foreign Minister Wang of China has been there. This has been somewhat of a state visit. Has it been as important as the media seems to be building it up?
Well, Jimmy, I read a rather interesting perspective on this by a well-known Israeli journalist and commentator, and I tend to think he may be right, and that is that as America has lost influence, and we've discussed this many times, under the Obama administration, and especially in recent years, in Egypt, in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, in Iraq, and really in other places, it's also happening in Israel. And I've mentioned this before. The Israelis are also feeling a little more isolated because the United States seems to be shrinking back under this administration from proactive involvement in the Middle East when needed. And, of course, the Syrian civil war, quote-unquote, which is now a regional war and is spreading. And, Jimmy, there's 5 million students in Syria, and only 1 million are going to school, because the schools have been destroyed and they've fled, and et cetera. So, you know, that's happening. But the Israelis, they're looking elsewhere too, maybe. And China is the next world superpower, most experts say, just due to its sheer size and its growing economic clout. And who's in debt to who financially? The U.S. is in debt to China. So the Israelis are looking that way, I think, a little bit more too, and anywhere else they can.
David, I see a report coming out of Jerusalem that about a month ago, when Prime Minister Netanyahu visited Vladimir Putin in Russia, they had a special conversation about security for the Israelis and all of those activities happening around Israel. And it seems that Putin seemed to guarantee to Netanyahu that the Russians would have the back, would take care of the security situation, making sure that they would be protected, the Jewish state, that is. What do you know about that?
Well, I would continue the same train of thought that I just spoke about, because this commentator wrote about that as well. Israel's also looking to Russia, Russia of all places. But again, don't forget there's over a million Russian immigrants in Israel. There's a lot of to and froing between the two countries, a lot of tourism and trade now. And again, as the United States seems to be withdrawing or pulling back a bit in the region under the Obama term, especially under the second term, many would say, it's Israel's looking in all directions. And, you know, it's good if they can have Russia on their side. Now, I think you and I know, prophetically speaking, that's not going to last. But, you know, the Netanyahu government is looking at other avenues, just as the Egyptians are. They've invited the Russians in again. The Saudis are doing it. The Saudi foreign minister was just up in Moscow for the first time ever. So this is the direction it's going. As America retreats, all these countries are looking to other powers, and Russia and China, of course, are the two other greatest powers apart from maybe England and France.
And meanwhile, the United States, as you've said, losing their influence in the Middle East, i.e. John Kerry, who is the Secretary of State, coming in trying to put together the peace process between the Israelis and the Palestinians. I understand that Kerry's security plan has been rejected by the Palestinians in particular.
Yes, he included what all Israeli governments have said is a red line for them, and that is that Israel has to maintain some sort of presence in the Jordan Valley. And you've been there many times, and you and I traveled through there into Jordan, in fact, a few years ago, and the lowest spot on earth, but it's a very indefensible border in a way up the hill. Let's just say that the Israelis believe they have to have some security arrangements there at the very least. Kerry included that in the proposal, and the Palestinian Authority rejected it outright. So they've dug in their heels. Now, this is one of the minor issues, Jimmy. This isn't Jerusalem. You know, this is one of the minor, relatively minor issues, and already the thing's falling apart. And again, as I've said all along, most Israeli commentators agree, this was never going to go anywhere. It's a waste of time and money. It's just further damaging America's credibility in the region that our Secretary of State's focusing on this side issue while Syria is falling apart completely, Iran is doing nuclear things, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, give me about 30 seconds on this one, if you will, David. I understand that while this is all going on, there has been an announcement of unity talks between Hamas and Fatah. And the fact is that if these two factions of the Palestinians come back together, you can forget about any peace process, I would think.
Well, you would, but Jimmy, this is about the 10th time they've started these talks, and they've always come to failure. The Hamas is just so radical and extreme that, you know, and not all Palestinians by any means are. I know quite a few moderate politicians in the PA, and, you know, they just are probably not going to make that happen.
Will they continue the talks anyway, in spite of that? Is this just a front to the world leaders?
Oh, I think they'll continue them for a while, but they'll hit a snag probably like they have every time before, and then they'll just sort of walk away from them quietly.
They're just following the script, I guess, that they have been following for the last couple of years. David Dolan with a Middle East news update, looking at events happening in that region of the world, a very unique region that helped us to understand what's going to happen as it relates to the prophetic scenario found in God's Word, and we see the setting up the stage being readied for that to happen, to unfold in the Middle East. David, thank you so very much, my good friend. Hey, by the way, have a great Christmas season, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you. The same to you, Jimmy. God bless.